From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Tim Henney.
Well, much of the health advice we receive today is misguided and based on old conventions rather than the latest research. We're led to constantly worry about the foods we should or shouldn't be eating, the tests we don't take, and the pills we don't swallow. All that worry costs us dearly, financially, emotionally, and physically. In fact, perhaps the very best thing you can do when you're busy or stressed is to set aside time for something you truly enjoy, like walking. There's the tie-in. In their new book, The Good Vices, From Beer to Sex, The Surprising Truth About What's Actually Good for You, prominent naturopathic physician Dr. Harry Ofgang and health and food journalist Eric Ofgang confront decades of medical myth and prejudice to shed light on guilty pleasures that are not only okay, but actually may help bolster our health. We're now joined by both Ofgangs, Dr. Harry Ofgang and Eric Ofgang, father and son, and welcome to The Mountain Life. Great to have you.
Thanks for having us on.
I guess I would start by saying everything in moderation, right? Or not right?
Right. Perfect. Everything in moderation, the middle road, and that in some of the interviews we've done, we've pointed out that for some people we're actually encouraging them to imbibe and indulge less, because we're saying that these vices are not only not unhealthy but healthy, but definitely in moderation.
Yes. We are barraged every day with new things we should and shouldn't do, and they all seem very obsessive. And what you point out in your book is about all of the worry you have about the wrong things you're doing, especially with your diet, is just really counterproductive and could create stress and anxiety that is much more damaging to your health than maybe, you know, the occasional pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Absolutely. Yep. The worry and anxiety and stress are health detriment. Having fun, smiling, being happy, enjoying life with friends and relatives and cats and dogs and just walking in nature and so on, or even walking in the city, those are all life-affirming, healthy things. Worrying, stressing, if worry cured, great. If stress cured, great, but it doesn't. Those are detriment.
That sounds like the Italian model.
Absolutely. And my dad used to live in Italy for a number of years, and there's definitely a theme of La Dolce Vita running through the book.
Well, there you go. Yeah, because it just jumps right out. You know, my father's going to be thrilled to hear this, because in my entire life he's proclaimed, you know, moderation, everything in moderation. And it was kind of everything in moderation. He was pretty, you know, broad in what was allowed, and the guardrails were wide, but it was all about moderation. Now, for me, the observation after all these years of hearing that and watching him is, you know, actually implementing the credo of moderation, because that becomes very subjective. And how do you help people determine what's the right amount? What is moderation to them?
Well, for example, with certain things, it's pretty clear based on the studies. With alcohol, wine, beer, we suggest a drink, a glass, maybe two occasionally, and that's the best knowledge from the CDC. What we do is, when possible, we tell people what the best available study shows or the best available knowledge. I mean, that can change. But oftentimes, just common sense will play a role. So when in doubt, have less. But in general, the idea is to follow the middle road. There are some surprising studies, and one came out just recently that showed that even 25 cups of coffee a day did not cause thickening of the arteries and no adverse or very few adverse cardiovascular events, as was heretofore believed by previous studies. So there are some studies showing that certain of the vices, like coffee, you can kind of get away with having some more. But even so, we don't encourage excess in any of this.
Well, Lynn is thrilled to hear about the 25 cups of coffee because she often bumps and exceeds that threshold.
Oh, yeah.
But there are...
Yeah, I don't even know how they...
Yeah. Well, you would do nothing else.
It's logistically difficult. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I don't know who they could have found that actually drank that, but they, apparently the study did find some.
Yeah, no, and definitely I think we advise more, you know, in the 1 to 3, 4 cup range, I think is more more safe and probably more productive because it seems like you won't have to be running to the bathroom as much.
Yeah. Well, we're both safe in the coffee category. We're probably a little questionable in the wine category that you referenced first. But
no study has ever been done showing 25 glasses of wine is safe. And,
yeah.
you know, the liver has to detoxify alcohol and so on and so forth. So there's a trade-off. Alcohol always has to be detoxified. So you're not, it's a vice that is not scot-free. But again, having lived in Italy for many years, I found that the people who were the oldest, lived the longest, not only ate prudently, ate delicious foods, the Mediterranean diet is well known now, but they often had a glass or so of wine regularly. And a lot of health benefits to that. But again, there's the key comes back to moderation and the middle road.
Well, and that makes me wonder about just the term vices, because I would think that's maybe a social title, but certainly a cultural lens to look through, because as you just stated, in Italy, things that we might consider a vice, they would consider a healthy, normal part of a meal and an experience and connecting and creating community.
That's important, that connection. They're the part of what the benefit is, I think, for longevity and health, is that in Italy, it's not just the wine, it's not just the pasta. It's the benefit of community, of camaraderie with your family, with your friends. It's celebration. They celebrate life every meal, every day. Not everyone in Italy, of course, but and also things change as time moves on. But so many times we noticed when we lived there that life was a celebration just when having lunch.
Mm. Well, and the other thing, and it's really difficult when you start talking about Italy, because then I might not ever get off the topic.
But we'll be fine with that.
But I wanted to ask you something about this, since you lived there for a long time, and the consumption of wine. It seems to me that the table wine, oftentimes the wine that is kept in a large keg that they pour out and put in a little glass carafe that's a mezzolitro or whatever, is not as full of alcohol. It's lower in alcohol. And therefore, it's really much healthier for you because you're not, you know, drinking that level of alcohol that tends to ruin people's lives after they become addicted. Do you know about that?
Well, yes. In fact, when we lived in Italy, this was many years ago, we'd go to a shop in town, and it would almost look like you were filling up on propane or gasoline, and they'd fill this big jug, a demijohn of wine, and it was very, very cheap. But very few people in that we knew overindulged. Now, I don't know about the specific content of alcohol. I can tell you that since Italians had some regularly, they did not, most that we knew did not overindulge. That doesn't mean that no one overindulges. And with vices such as wine or spirits or whatever, you have to be very careful because they can be highly addictive. So the key with even something like wine, which actually has been proven so many times to have so many health benefits, just the grape itself is so healthy, you have to really follow the middle road, the path to moderation. And naturally in Italy, people are doing that because when you're having a meal for with many, many courses, going over many hours with so many friends and family on a regular basis, you don't even have time to drink that much wine. So basically, it's not just the wine. It's
the lifestyle,
surroundings and the meal and everything else with it.
Yeah.
My grandfather, Harry's father, you know, would have scotch every day at around 4 o'clock. And he lived into his 90s. And part of, you know, obviously scotch is quite high in alcohol content, but he would have one scotch per day. He would sit down and read a book, listen to classical music. He would get up early, work really hard, look forward to that glass all day, and that would be it. So, you know, if it's part of, you know, that kind of ritual, whatever it is, I think that can be really important as well.
Mm. If you're just joining us, our guests are Dr. Harry Ofgang and his son, Eric Ofgang, a writer. They've written a new book, The Good Vices, From Beer to Sex, The Surprising Truth About What's Actually Good for You. And since it's in the tagline, I guess I ought to ask about sex.
Way to go, Lynn.
I mean, that's where I'm going to end it. And well, remember that we're on radio here.
I started with Italy.
Yes, when we're interviewed about this, I usually tell my son to cover his ears, even when we're
I'm not old
on
enough
the same show.
Right.
Basically, there are some studies, lots of studies, showing that sex, particularly when accompanied by love and good relationships, is very healthy.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, it has been shown to, it can boost the immune system, burn calories, and it's been shown to, been linked, regular sex has been linked with increased longevity, at least between a 45% and 50% increase in lifespan between people who regularly have sex and those who don't, and it increases mood. We're talking about a loving, positive relationship, which also has a host of health benefits.
Eric, this is for you. I'm really curious about your motivation for writing this book. And I don't want to make assumptions, but I think it's an easy assumption to make that, you saw this wealth of information that your father possessed and you thought that there was a way to package it and present it. And maybe that desire to package and present was to create a counter narrative to a lot of the fear that we hear out there that we talked about earlier, things that you shouldn't do, and the pharmacology epidemic or, cultural wave that we're all experiencing. But why don't you tell us what it was that motivated you to put this into print and present it as Good Vices?
Yeah, well, I absolutely am on the right track there with, I grew up with these, understanding that, I grew up with good coffee. My dad used to brew beer. They never sort of my parents never hid the fact that they would drink from us, but always sort of drink, responsibly and emphasize quality over quantity in kind of everything. My mom would grind her own wheat flour for bread. And so I grew up with this kind of philosophy for sure. And, definitely when I became a journalist, I started writing about that, writing both in the health world and the food and beverage world. Just had that as a background for sure. And me and my dad had talked about doing a book for a long time. We couldn't exactly agree on a topic, but he would send me different research and share his observations. And little by little, I think we started to realize that, hey, this is one type of book, we could write, where there's enough of these sort of counterintuitive behaviors and foods and drinks that we have enough for a book.
What's the takeaway you are hoping for? And I would imagine you had an intention, or maybe you didn't. I mean, maybe there's just, but I'm assuming that you two are pretty intentional in the way you do things, even with the message
of
moderation.
Yes. The takeaway we hope for is that people enjoy the book, have fun, stop worrying, stop overusing drugs that are unnecessary. And we summed it up in the end, which was the last chapter, which is, happiness, pursue it. And the takeaway is to try to enjoy life when you can with friends and family and enjoy some of these things that we've been told, just don't have fun, don't worry, have anxiety and so on and so forth. But none of that generally helps us and can actually hurt us. So the takeaway is enjoy life.
A wonderful takeaway. And I just want to mention you have this graph that talks about the intersection of the Mediterranean diet with the paleo diet and the vegetarian diet. And it's a Venn diagram. And all of these three diets converge. And that's kind of one that you're recommending along with enjoy life. And this incorporates, it's now a famous saying by Michael Pollan, eat What is it? You can tell me what it is. Mostly green. Eat lots of food, mostly green. I can't remember how it goes.
Well,
but
not too much. No, eat real food, not too much, mostly vegetables. I think, or mostly plants or something along that.
Yes.
But I know what you're talking about,
Yeah, and that's where that diagram comes in, is that there's a lot of diets that are fairly healthy. Again, having lived in Italy, the Mediterranean diet is very healthy and has been shown in many studies to promote longevity and well-being. There are vegetarians that will read this book. There are people into the new, it's the old paleo diet, I guess, a primal diet. And what we suspect and what we found in some studies is when these intersect, we find that those are the most healthy foods to consume. And they intersect with lots of fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, fermented foods, dairy, certified healthy raw dairy when possible, and healthy oils. And I don't think anyone can go wrong with having those.
Before we let you go, and we've got just about a minute left, we interviewed a very credible doctor. His book, we had lots of listeners calling the station saying, what was the name of that book? And he was talking about the dangers and the importance of avoiding lectins. My question to you is, you hear something like that is very plausible and seems like it's filled with common sense. And yet, when that means that you can't eat any more cashews, for example, what do you do with that?
Well, we found that a lot of studies were not completely accurate. So what we do with it is we tell people to keep studying, keep looking. And most nuts and seeds we find to be very healthy, including cashews. Now, I understand there's exceptions. So I think further research, if it's proven to us that cashews are bad or something like that, we'll look into it. And as my son pointed out in a previous interview, even brown rice has been found to have arsenic in it. Does that mean we should all stop eating rice? No, it means that we just have to be aware of our surroundings and study more.
Yes.
And have a varied diet, I think, is good. Variation. Yes. So you don't want to eat exclusively one food in case there is something we don't know about it that's bad for us or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good point. The book is The Good Vices, From Beer to Sex, The Surprising Truth About What's Actually Good for You. Dr. Harry Ofgang and Eric Ofgang, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And there you have it. I like this.
Does that mean I get to eat cashews again?
You may eat cashews again.
It's been like 9 months since I've had a cashew. I replaced them with macadamia nuts.
Right. Well,
I also put on about 3 pounds of macadamia, good fat.
It was good fat. Good fat. Well, again, this is the thing. I mean, not to beat this to death, but I remember growing up, never eat an avocado. It has so many calories. And now, eat all the avocados you want. They're just so good. And I'm wondering when the other shoe's going to drop, when actually the new research says, avocados, really bad for you. So,
yeah.
I don't know, but that's the point that they make. Variation and, enjoy
life. I like the intersection on the Venn diagram because that's basically that's the core of my diet.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Good to see that.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.